Good evening, everyone. This is Mellow Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. My show is highly recommended, full of all of the music that I recommend highly. I'm coming to you from here in Medford, Massachusetts, and I have a very exciting show ahead for you. I'm going to be playing about half an hour of music, and then at 7:30, I will be joined by Bermuda Search Party. And even if you don't recognize the name, you might know Bermuda Search Party. They're formerly known as the Q-Tip Bandits. Why the name change? Well, stick around and find out. They'll be here around 7:30, and we're going to have a nice, fun interview. And next week, if you want another local music scene interview, I will be interviewing the organizer from an Alston basement venue, getting the inside scoop from an anonymous source. So that should be pretty interesting, I think. I'm looking forward to that. And then the week after that, it's going to be the new schedule. So I think I'm going to do an all-vinyl set, first show of the new schedule, and then I'll have trainees for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back, and I'll have more announcements. If you want to keep up with me and the show, you can follow me on Instagram at MaxSilverHammer, no spaces, and there's no E at the end, like the Beatles song. And you can also check me out on my website, max.kratzok.com/radio. And I've got a bunch of old interviews and a bunch of articles that I'm writing for my blog up there. And what else is coming up? Ooh, tomorrow night, Hush Club, Winkler, and last week's guest, Little Fuss, are playing a gig at the Brighton Music Hall. And I'm very excited. I won't be playing too much music by any of them because they're all sold out. And I don't want you guys to feel like you're missing out too much, but you are. If you're not going, you're missing out. Anyway, let's get started with, how about a little bit of ska? Now, Bermuda Search Party sometimes says that they're ska adjacent. Maybe. So, starting off with The Selector.
Ready? Tears, they must be a part of our design.
That last song was Retro Space Weapon by Setima Taka from Moscow, and before that, David Byrne with Strange Overtones, and before that, Esby with Darling. And coming up next, we're going to have a song by Coco Elise.
Thank you.
That was just Bermuda Search Party with The Wolf. And now here's Bermuda Search Party. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, yeah. How's it going?
Hi, I'm Leo.
I'm Claire.
And we are 2/5 of Bermuda Search Party. 2/4? Oh, so many new things today.
Yeah. Do you want to hop right into that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Our drummer of 3 to 4 years, Dakota Maykrantz, has recently parted ways with the band. And yeah, it's been something new, a new development for us, and Dakota has given so much of himself to this band and has been wanting to explore some other things for a while, and it's time to set him free and see where he goes and see where we go.
Well said.
Yeah, and so you, among other things, have also changed your name. Do you want to talk about the reason why?
Sure. For the last 6 years, we started playing music together in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 6 years, we were known as the Q-Tip Bandits, and we had a lot of love and a lot of adventure under that name. But as of recently, we've been adding team members to our team, and one of them being a lawyer, who gave us some legal advice to ensure that we would not get sued by either Procter & Gamble, who owns the name Q-Tips, or by the rapper Q-Tip, that it would be in our best interest to move forward under a new name.
And yeah, as punk rock as I think it would have been to get sued by Procter & Gamble, I think it's a better move not to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars for something we can cover now.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, we have this, again, what's more punk rock than identity and forging our own identity, so.
Yeah, so it's been a journey of letting go of the last name, but it's also an exciting prospect of the future of what's to come under this new era as Bermuda Search Party.
And rather than going for, you know, generic cotton swab pirates, you've decided to go with something completely new. Where did Bermuda Search Party come from?
Yeah, we had a lot of names that we were considering and a list of names that continued to get whittled down more and more over the months of us thinking about this change. But I think the initial idea of Bermuda Search Party came from this kind of idea of like a childlike wonder that kids have with things like the Bermuda Triangle, like, you know, Amelia Earhart, or even like quicksand, you know, things that you think are going to affect your life in a lot bigger way than they actually do affect your life.
Totally. Still gripped by Nessie right now.
And yeah, so it kind of it came out of this sense of wonder and curiosity about things that are unknown to us.
Yeah, and I think part of what we liked about the Q-Tip Bandits was it felt like the name of the band had a mission. Like, we weren't just like a thing, but we were like a thing with a cause. And Bermuda Search Party gives us this mission of searching for ourselves and others and this idea of exploration. Mm-hmm. And it just felt right.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I think that there definitely is quite a bit of wonder and even discovery in your music. And we were just talking before we got on the air about, Leo, you kind of rediscovering the wolf that we just listened
yeah.
to. And that was pretty cool for me to hear. Just like, oh man, yeah, I never listened to this.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I delved back into some of the earlier stuff, and it's really nice to hear, and it brings me back to Dimension Soundstage and Dan Cardinal and me, you, and Dakota working on those rhythm section stuff. And
yeah, I mean, talking about like eras of the band, like that last recording that we heard was the first time we ever recorded with Dakota, and yeah, now we are moving on to the next chapter, and yeah, it's an interesting little full circle.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of listeners would agree that there are a lot of similarities between that very early EP and your current sound.
Mm.
How would you, in your own words, define how your sound has changed and matured over the years?
I think that we, on this most recent record, we flew out to LA to record with Eric Palmquist, and I think something that was a thought I remember recording those older records was like a timidness, like a, yeah, let's throw that in there, but like maybe turn it down so it's like you don't really hear it, but you might feel it, or it adds to like the soundscape and it's like atmospheric. And with this record, it's like, if it's in there, we're gonna hear it. If it's in there, it's a part of the bit, it's a part of the song, it's a part of the thing that listeners are going to hear. And there's very few things in this next record that are like, oh, let's just tuck that away. It's like, if it's in there, it's meant to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. We won't have to go searching for anything.
Yeah, and I think along with that, like from our very first recording of our song Willow, that was probably the simplest of our recordings so far. Mm. And then we got a little bit more complex as far as like adding more layers and experimenting with more things with the EP after that. And then kind of really went all in with our album Melancholy Flowers of like Leo was saying, let's try this, but like, let's tuck it back a little bit and let's throw all these different layers in. And I think our upcoming album is a little bit more of the, okay, let's pull back a little bit and let's make fewer elements shine more, as opposed to trying to give a spotlight to a lot more elements and then ending up not really giving any sort of spotlight.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I don't need you guys to divulge any secrets, but you keep mentioning this new album. Do you have anything that you can give us on it? Any details?
Yeah. We are planning to have the first single released by the spring of this year. And a few of the songs we've played live, being July, Asking for a Friend, Olivia, some of the things that are already in the live set. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we flew out to LA and worked with a producer for the first time and really had that experience of collaborating with somebody who is not part of the band, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that was new for us and also exciting. And I think it really shows in the flavor of the next songs, the next batch of songs. It's us and then some.
Mm.
So I'm very, very excited to share it, but we're still working out the timeline of the exact album release, but we can be expecting some singles dropping in spring.
Excellent, and we will be looking forward to it. Is there any kind of overarching theme or message behind this new album?
I think something I love about this next batch of songs is that, to me, it feels unapologetically uplifting, unapologetically just positive. It just is punchy and dancey and groovy throughout, and I'm really excited to share this with the world. I'm very like anxiously anticipating it, and yeah, Eric really got a lot of great things out of us, and just really excited.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's live or recorded music, you can tell when the musician's having fun and when they're into it. And that's something that I really like about seeing you guys live. You always bring the energy. You always, play with spirit. Mm-hmm. What's your secret? Other than loving your own music, which I can't blame you.
I think loving the people you're playing it with is even huge. More so a part of it. It's something that I always try and make sure to not take for granted, and I think we all try and stay very aware of the fact of just like how special it is to get the chance to go on stage and do the thing that you love, which is play music with people that you love and are so dear to you. And I think there's just no greater feeling than that. And we always talk about how having a great live show starts from having a great time with each other on stage, and then there's no way you can translate that to an audience without having it start internally. Whether there's, 5 people in the venue or whether we're playing to like 500 people, we make sure that we first of all are putting on a good performance for ourselves, and then hope that translates to the people watching.
Yeah. That's very well put. I'm reminded of when, like, we got this opportunity to open for a band called Ripe, and that was, like, our big thing coming out of the pandemic. That really helped us. It was this moment of, like, okay, we can really keep going and really, like, restart strong. And we flew Macklin back in from Colorado. It was like, there's no way we're not doing these gigs. And we rehearsed all week. And right before we walked up on stage, Hoyt looked at me and he was like, it's just us in the basement. It's just us in the basement. Just have fun, play for each other, and then try to share that with the people there. And I don't know if it's maybe on a separate note, but maybe not a secret, and not so much a secret, but I just have this like morbid view of my reality. And every time I get up on stage, I'm like, if this is the last time I get to perform, I'm going to have a fucking so close, Max. I'm going to have a blast.
Yeah.
I'm just going to enjoy myself like it's the last time. And along with that, it's just like Claire and I love this artist called Darwin Dees. And he puts random dance breaks into his set. And it's so silly. It's so funny. But in those moments, I'm like, I don't have to worry as an audience member of looking silly when I dance. And all of a sudden, I feel free to move how I want. And every time we get up there, I try to tell myself, the more foolish I feel, the more the audience is going to feel like they can have a good time. And just letting myself be loose in that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that comes across, like, thinking back, that makes a lot of sense. That's a great mindset to have. And for anyone listening right now who thinks, oh my God, that sounds like so much fun, when can anyone, or do you have any gigs lined up?
We have a few gigs lined up right now. Our next one is in Hartford on February 2nd, but we recently announced that we will be playing on June 22nd at Green River Fest. 21st. Thank you, Claire, and your very perfectly timed signed language. Yeah.
Green River Festival. June 21st.
And where is that one?
That one is Green River, Massachusetts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 2 hours from where we are right now. Yeah, we've also got another local-ish show in Portsmouth, New Hampshire at Jimmy's Jazz Club. And that one is February 29th, Leap Year Day.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm acting like I didn't know this.
Ooh, a new gig.
Wow. I love that venue.
Yeah, and then we've got some touring scheduled for March, so we'll be visiting different parts of the country as well mm-hmm. this spring.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Are there any venues where you would really like to play? Like, what would be your dream venue?
If Hoyt was here, he would say the moon.
Dream big.
Dream big, yep.
Yeah. And even if you miss, you'll land among the stars,
that's
as
right.
they say.
That's right.
I think I am such a fan of music festivals, and I think both as a performer and as like an audience member, I think there's just something so special about that, like, feeling of a summertime music festival. Like, it's just so wonderful to be a part of in every way. And so for me, a big one is Lollapalooza. I would love to end up on that lineup sometime in the near future. But yeah.
I would love to play Red Rocks. That's a big one for me. And having grown up in Boston, Fenway Park is also like one of those way down in the distance, like shooting for that.
Yeah. And so you guys, among being prolific performers yourselves, you are also prolific concert goers. Have you been to any good concerts lately? Anything coming up on your radar that you're looking forward to?
Good question.
I mean, I know the last time I bumped into you guys and actually got to line up this interview with your lovely manager, Zoe, was seeing Coral Moons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that was a really fun show.
That was a fun show. Little Fuss opened. Yep. They were on last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm very much looking forward to our friends Little Fuss, Hush mm-hmm. Club, and Winkler tomorrow night at Brighton Music Hall. It is sold out, but I hear they might be releasing tickets, so if you're listening right now, keep an eye out. What's a show we've seen recently that...
Yeah, good question.
Ooh, we just saw our friends Juice play at Paradise Rock Club, and they have been just the sweetest guys, and there's something special about when I feel like we get to be fans of our friends, and it's like we've known their music and we get to meet up with them in these places where we played a college festival, that's where we met Juice, and then we played Boston Calling with them, and all of a sudden this band that, like, I've loved their songs for years, mm-hmm. like, it just feels like we're contemporaries. They are down the path a little further than we are. But to have them be so open and to kind of share in that space and that camaraderie with us has been really cool. And even like Little Fuss and them getting started out now, just to be friends with these bands that I'm like, oh, they're so awesome. This is going to be so great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think along with that, one of the most memorable concerts as of recent was also our friends Couch performing at the Royale. And they put on a fantastic show every time. And that show was no exception.
Yeah.
So that one was great.
It's just so cool to see people that I'm like, we got coffee the other day and you do this awesome thing. And I hope I never lose that, like, I'm a fan of the music as much as I am a performer of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that might lead well into this next one. What would you say music means to you in your life?
I've been thinking a lot recently about, like, in a very cinematic way, I guess. And I feel like in the same way that a good soundtrack can really shape the way you experience a movie. And, like, I don't know if you've seen the clips where they just take the music out of a movie scene and it's like, oh, this is just strange and awkward and doesn't make me feel anything. But I feel like music is very similar in a way that it can really just, like, shape and color your perspective of your life and the world, and has this just power to shape your mood and to help you feel connected when you need that connection, and to let you feel your feelings, whatever those feelings are that need to be felt. I feel like my answer for that, you know, is constantly fluid and flexible, but I think that one particularly has been resonating with me recently a lot, of just music is a way to shape your perspective on life and for the better.
For sure. I feel like connectivity, what you said, that's like a big one for me, of like music has always been a way to connect with people that I may never meet, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, it was like fending off loneliness, and continuously still today, like when I feel something and I feel so alone in that feeling, I can turn on a song that I love that captures that emotion, and I may never meet Lobby Seyfried, right? I may never meet Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I may never meet these people, but they have shown me that this emotion is not only okay, but it's okay to express. And in those moments, I don't feel alone. And it's always been this thing of connectivity and community, and music means togetherness for me, mm-hmm. and a place to express things that may otherwise not be expressible.
Yeah, and not only did you decide to express those things, but you decided to express and share them. Was there would either of you or both of you be able to point to any specific points in your life where you decided, like, okay, I'm setting out and I'm gonna make music?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both have our own stories of how we got around to it, but I was always drawn to music from a very young age. My parents would tell me stories about how I would, like, run around the house and just, like, pluck the little metal strings of, like, we had, like, this egg cutter in the house that would slice a boiled egg into little, and to me, that was, like, my first instrument. Like, I was running around just plucking these very non-pitched strings, and I was like, I want to be a harp player. I want to be, like, the little angels in the sky that play harp. And luckily, I had very supportive parents who encouraged that dream instead of shutting it down, and I was able to take harp lessons and other music lessons from a very young age. And I remember getting really into Avril Lavigne in the fourth grade, I think. And that was kind of where I was like, wow, she's so cool, and she plays guitar, and she's riding her skateboard on top of cars. And just for some reason was such an angsty little fourth grader who was like, I really resonate with these lyrics. And just really felt drawn to making music and expressing myself in that way from that point forward, and discovered a community of other people who like to do the same thing in, like, middle school and high school, and was really just inspired and motivated to continue to pursue this as a career path. And thankfully, I had people who were telling me it's possible, and, you know, encouraging me to give it a shot. And I'm so glad that I have done so, and that it led me to this band.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I've there's a lot of answers to this question. And even just hearing you mention it, Claire, about like the people I've found, there's so many different points where it's like, oh, that's why. It's because that person told me this anecdote about how artists never say that they wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, or they should have been a doctor or a lawyer. But you meet doctors and lawyers all the time that are like, I wish I practiced my instrument. I wish I worked on my art. You know, it could be something like that. Or like, things for me was like, I started playing guitar at 12. I started playing classical piano when I was 4, and like this like gentle slope into music. And for me, it was like all the classic rock bands and like Zeppelin, AC/DC, and like I got into the Chili Peppers, Ramones, and it like I even like shudder that that's considered classic rock now. but like Weezer was another band that I really loved, and even other things like Kid Cudi was a big thing for me. And hearing music that was like, oh, it doesn't have to sound like the thing on the radio, and I can find identity in it. And I wanted to do it, but I never had the confidence. And for me, it was like reaching a very low point of like mental health. And for me, it was substance abuse, and like in this place. And I remember it's funny to think about now, but like I was isolated with a few friends, and we were really into watching Red Hot Chili Peppers live videos. And I remember the thought, watching John Frusciante like just bending notes on the guitar, and like his whole body was in it, and this thought of like that feeling, what it looks like, this freedom of expression, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to feel all the time. And just kind of latching on to that, and it became this, I don't care what it looks like, I'm gonna make it happen so that I can do this and potentially share the feeling that these people have given me with the people around me and the people who connect with what I do. And that was a big turning point. And yeah, and really just like it being, there being no other option for me right now. And it didn't matter if I was confident or not.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of musicians say the only way to really be successful is to not give yourself a plan B.
Uh-huh.
You got to go all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing an interview, I think, in like my sophomore year of high school or something, with the band 21 Pilots when they were still kind of, you know, a relatively unknown band. And that was one of the things that they said in the interview. I don't even remember how the question was asked, but they're like, oh yeah, no, like there isn't a plan B. There can't be a plan B if you want plan A to succeed. And that definitely stuck with me from that point forward. And I think that same attitude is something that Leo has always embodied, and that I've always admired. And that I think helps drive this band to the success that we've been able to have so far.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know how healthy it is, but I know it's working.
Well, that's something, yeah. You know? Claire, do you still play harp?
Sort of. I stopped playing seriously when I was, you know, starting to pick up like guitar and bass guitar, and I was like, oh, I can't play these rock songs that I love on the instrument that I play at the time.
Yeah.
I've seen incredible harpists do it. But yeah, for me as a 12-year-old, I was like, wow, like, you know, I want to be a rock star. I can't be a rock star while playing the harp. So I did, unfortunately, put the instrument down for a while, but in the last few years have kind of been trying to relearn, rediscover that. There will be some of my harp playing on a release that we are releasing in April that I don't know if we can share about yet or not, but
I'm gonna spill the beans. I'm gonna spill all the beans.
Spill the beans.
Yeah. All right. We, for the 5-year anniversary of Willow, we've recently traveled to Brooklyn to Shortstack Studio to record with our friends Teddy Walsh and Tucker Bickle an acoustic version of Willow. And Claire's harp playing will be featured on that song.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah, so yeah. It was a good excuse to pick up the instrument again and kind of retrain my fingers how to do certain things.
That's awesome. Yeah, nothing like returning to your roots.
Totally.
And we're getting close to the top of the hour, so if you guys want, there's a little script right there. If you guys want to do, like, this is blank and you're listening to...
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Together?
Yeah. This is Claire and Leo from Bermuda Search Party, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I love that we did that together.
That went really great for me. I nailed that.
Well, you know, it was a nice solo. You took over. And yeah,
you'll take the next one.
Yeah.
I'll accentuate it. Big choice words.
Nice. You're a hype man?
Yeah, that's right.
And do you want to read a PSA as well?
Yeah. I'll go for this one. The support of a friend, give someone dealing with mental health issues, illness, a great chance at recovery. For more information, go to whatadifference.org, brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And speaking of mental health and emotions, I think that we should listen to your song Happy off of your most recent album.
Let's do it.
Darling, I know this bedroom's a mess. Haven't cleaned up much, no, I must confess, but I'm happy. Tell me, can you say the same? Darling, I see you eyeing the door. Tell me, why don't you come round no more? Are you happy? You make it so hard to tell. And I know it's never easy. We tried so hard lately, tried to reach you, but you're so far as these memories gather like holes in the wall. I say the same. Darling, I know this house is a mess. If I'm honest, I could not care.